Welcome to our service for the second Sunday before Lent, or Sexagesima, as it used to be known to its friends. Sexagesima because we are 60 days, more or less, from Easter. Easter, when we hope that we will be able to be in church to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory. Thou, O death, hast won. Father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought, word, and deed. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Collect for the Second Sunday before Lent. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works and your likeness in all your children. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns supreme over all things, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth, and he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him, like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, entitled The Supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is something of a first. I've never written a sermon on hold before. Last week, I was trying to sort out an online account for my friend Doug in Birmingham. What might Doug need an online account for? Well, he needs an old settee collected by the council and taken to the tip. You need an online account to book an online slot for them to come and pick it up. Yes, you really do. But first, the website won't let you create an online account, and then if you try to do it by phone, the council employees you get through to, after you've been on hold for a while, themselves only have the online system to go to, and they discover that all the slots fill up on a Friday morning as soon as they become live. Doug is severely dyslexic. Trying to use any website is really difficult for him, let alone one that doesn't actually work. It's a kind of torture. But you apparently can't get your sofa collected without it. He and I have been trying to get his settee collected for the last 3 weeks. Today, for the third time this week, I was on hold to Sky Television, trying to sort out my cousin Margaret's Sky account, which my dad used to organise and pay for, and we've taken over since he died. While I was on hold for the first time, the electrician came to the vicarage to try to sort out our hot water tank. We have hot water, but there's something not quite right with the system. Of course, it's a brand new state-of-the-art immersion heater with bells and whistles and software, the upshot of which was that he had to call the manufacturer Dimplex to talk to one of their engineers. And guess what? They put him on hold. We formed a little on-hold society, he and I. I was on hold to Sky for 40 minutes, and he was on hold to Dimplex for more than an hour. When I'd finally sorted out the Sky account, I made the poor man a cup of tea while he was still waiting. But finally the Dimplex engineer came through. They talked it back and forth for about 10 minutes, and I was sitting in the lounge with my cup of tea listening. The electrician described what he was seeing, but the Dimplex engineer couldn't understand what was going on. "I'll just put you on hold," he said, and another 10 minutes of canned music followed. The upshot is that they're going to have to send a man from Dimplex in Birmingham. He'll be the fourth bloke who's come to look at the system. I confidently expect him to turn it off and turn it on again, and then tell me the software needs an upgrade. What to make of it all? Well, first of all, I think it's brought home to me how much the modern world is disempowering people who have disabilities which hinder them from using the internet. Margaret's never used a computer in her life. She loves football, and her disabilities are such that watching it on television is one of the few pleasures left to her. But trying to create a My Sky account or use a Sky Go app is beyond her. Indeed, it's been a nightmare for me. She's been without Sky in isolation for about 2 weeks. Thankfully, she's connected again now. She's always very understanding, but I feel I've let her down. The same goes for Doug, whose life has in the main been a triumph over his disabilities, but his dyslexia makes the internet more or less impossible to use. The more it becomes the case that simple tasks require the use of digital technology, the more autonomy we take away from those who, through no fault of their own, cannot use it. Why should Doug, who is an independent and intelligent man, have to go begging to someone like me just to get his rubbish taken away? In our own churches, as you know, we've made every effort to ensure that people who don't use computers are able to access these recorded services, which are online, as well by CD, and I'm happy we've done that. Even then, we haven't been able to reach everybody. It's not a good idea, on the whole, to write sermons while you're angry. So I took a breather when I got to that point. But I want to return now to the question of what we are going to do when our lives are no longer on hold. Because we've been on hold for nearly a year now. Perhaps the most poignant instances for me are the couples who've had to postpone their weddings and the bereaved people who are still waiting to have a memorial service for loved ones who have died, in some cases more than a year ago. In our churches, these months have been hard, again, most particularly so because of the people we've not been able to mourn as we would have wished. Several of the churches have been hit hard in this period by people dying, people having to move into care homes, people having to move nearer to family, and so on. Our hearts have gone out too to people at both ends of the age range, elderly people stuck in care homes but with no one able to visit them, children unable to see their friends and continue their education in school. But all of us, in truth, have had something we've had to postpone, something that's on hold, a much-needed holiday, a trip to see beloved family members, just a meeting with friends, a long-cherished project. I wonder, in fact, if you, like me and Jane, have created a little list, a list of people you want to see, places you want to go, projects you want to see through to completion, if and when all this is over. Captain Sir Tom Moore died this week. Speaking of him, the former England captain Michael Vaughan, through whom Sir Tom was awarded an England cricket cap in a unique ceremony, spoke of Sir Tom's inspiration to all of us to become better people. In our Old Testament reading today, we hear the call of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, St. Paul calls on the people in Ephesus, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time." The old translation, which I rather prefer, spoke of redeeming the time. There can surely never have been a period in our history which taught us more directly the evils of wasting time. We've wasted so much time this year, time that is God's precious gift to us all. We should commit ourselves to redeeming that time, living it more wisely, when next we have the chance. It will not do to live our lives on hold. Amen. It's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. En tad, yr hynoeten y nefoedd, sancte ddeda enw, deled y dernas, gwnela dy wychlis, megis yn y nef, fechli ar y ddeiar hefyd. Dyron ni heddiw ein bar y beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddeiwn ninnau ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg. Can i seith o ti, i'r dernas, a'r gathlu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen.
Let us pray. God of grace, God of glory, guide us by your goodness, that we may walk in your ways, seek to do your will, and worship you always. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Over 10 million people have now received their first dose of the vaccine, and with the number of daily cases on the decline, we have a lot to be thankful for. So we give you thanks, O Lord, for the NHS and its frontline staff who continue to place themselves at risk, tending to the seriously ill. For all the scientists who have worked tirelessly to produce an effective vaccine, and for all those who are organising the rollout of the vaccine across the country. For all the essential workers, the teachers, the supermarket checkout staff, the rubbish men and the delivery drivers who continue to work to make lockdown at least bearable for the rest of us. For the recognition that isolation doesn't necessarily mean loneliness, and for the help and support of kind friends and neighbours. And for all the technology of today that enables us to keep in contact with our family and friends and makes working from home possible. And for the inspiration of people like Captain Tom, who sadly died this week, whose courage and determination to walk 100 times around his garden at the age of 100, raising millions of pounds for the NHS in the process, has brought us together in admiration for this amazing man. And for the awakened appreciation of what really matters to us and what is truly important, we give you our grateful thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We give thanks to you, O Father, for the light that shines in our lives through Christ our Lord. Fill your church with that light, that it may be a light to light all nations, that we may proclaim your presence and your glory. We pray for all who have dedicated their lives to you and for all who work in your church today. We pray especially for our Bishop Joe, Archdeacon Eileen and LMA Lydia John, and for Matthew and Judith. And we pray for the growth of the church in our generation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our leaders who have difficult decisions to make and are not sure which way to turn. We pray for all who strive to bring justice, to free the oppressed, to share with the hungry, to home the homeless and to care for the poor. For all who cannot find the answers to the problems before them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are sick or unwell at this time, and we pray especially for those who are dear to us. May they know the comfort of your loving arms around them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks that life is eternal. We remember loved ones who have gone before us and are in the fullness of light in your kingdom. We pray that one day we may all walk in that light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
God of glory, you nourish us with your word, who is the bread of life. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that through us the light of your glory may shine in all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine in your hearts and fill your lives with his joy and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.
So the electrician had been with us for about an hour and three quarters, of which he spent an hour and quarter on hold to the engineer from Dimplex in Birmingham. As he left, he said to me, "What on earth did we do before mobile phones?" Here's an answer from Michael Flanders. Was it?